I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not married.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
97.1 FM Talk. This is Ryan Wiggins. This is the Annie Fry Show, and I will be filling in from noon to 1 for the next month and a half or so until Annie returns after Labor Day. She, as far as I know, got pregnant on the perfect day for her to have the baby at the beginning of May so that her maternity leave would take her to right past Labor Day, so that she could make the joke and really stick it out. She's so good at marketing. She stuck this in your mind that she had a baby, went on maternity leave, and would come back right after Labor Day. Incredible. She's so good
Clever.
At that. Yes. So I will be filling in. If you haven't heard, this is the news. Ryan Wiggins here filling in noon to 1 for the foreseeable future until Labor Day. And then from 1 to 3, it's going to be Dana Lash making her triumphant return to 97.1, where she began. She is a St. Louisan, of course, and so we're glad to have her back here on 97.1. And she will be in her permanent slot from 8 to 11 evenings here on 97.1, starting on August 16th. So the important part of that to remember, though, is that I'm filling in from noon to 1, and Dana Lash is filling in 1 to 3, and we'll return on August 16th. That's all of it.
He talked a lot about Dana just then, but let's not forget that right now, this is your spotlight.
That's
you
exactly
are the
right.
star of the show.
That's exactly right. And so Jake is here. Trish is here. I have so much to talk about today that if I ask the room, good news or bad news first, what kind of person are you? Do you want the good news first? Do you want the bad news first?
I guess that depends on the day. How am I feeling?
I mean, I'm going to give it to you the way that I'm going to give it to you. I'm just wondering what kind of person are you?
Oh,
you want good
know.
News or bad news first?
I think I want bad news first.
On paper, I always want to say bad news first, but in every situation like that, it feels like the good news is always brought down by the bad news, no matter which.
It's an excellent point.
Yeah. No matter if you get it first or second, they're always connected, and the bad news is always so much worse than the good news.
I always like leaving on a high, so give me the bad news first, give me the
good
news second.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying, though, is, like, it all depends on the news, because
so you'd have to hear the news before you knew whether you
exactly.
wanted to hear
Hindsight
it in what order.
Hindsight is always 20/20, and you can't see the future, because...
Okay. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the bad news first.
All right.
Because that's the way I had kind of planned it.
Because it's always worse.
And a conversation broke out here as we were kind of sitting here waiting to start that I think is important. I'm going to actually open up the phones, Jake, if you could here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I want to hear from you on this topic. It's one that I think affects everybody. You know, we've talked about masks, and I do have news on that. That's kind of the bad news. I'm going to give you some bad news about masks, but we're going to end on a high, I promise. So... the city still has a mask mandate. We're in the city. That could be overturned by the city council, and not because they hate masks, but because they seem to be in a war with Tashara Jones over money. And so they actually could overturn that just to get power back, which is fine with me. Go for it. I want to see the mandate go away. The counties is gone. According to Sam Page, it'll never leave, but it is gone. But we're still here in the city. And so we're watching people walk around, and everybody's kind of figuring out in the office, you know, not every radio station here at Odyssey is conservative.
Right.
And so there are people walking around in the hallways, some fully masked. I mean, like wearing the full thing. And then I'm walking around wondering why everybody's wearing masks because, well, we always talk about how we're going to protest, right? Oh, wait. Not everybody works at the same radio station that I do. So we've been talking about these things a little bit, and I'm looking out the window right now. There is a lady walking through the park, wide open park. She's the only one in it, and she is wearing a mask by herself.
This is a fun game. We should do this every day.
Mask insanity
mask or no mask.
Has returned. But over the weekend, because of all this, and this is where kind of the rubber meets the road, is how it affects you personally, and this is why I'm asking you if you want to call in. The number is 314-241-9797. Over the last year and few months, have you dealt with anxiety over this topic? Maybe you did briefly at the very beginning. Maybe you still are now. Maybe you never did, because that's me. I'm high risk. We've talked about it many times in the show. I have a respiratory disease, so I'm very, very high risk for this kind of stuff. But I never cared. I just thought the whole thing was overblown. But that's my personality, too. Mm-hmm. I think everything's always overblown and everybody overreacts to everything. My wife is emotional. It's one of the reasons I love her. But she reacts to things like I think the general public does. You know, if something is really crazy happening in the world, she takes it upon herself. I roll my eyes. It could be actually World War III, and I'd be like, this'll pass. this'll be gone in a minute.
The aliens are here. Like, so when the UFOs, when we got the UFOs or the aliens are here story, you're like, yeah, that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the bottom of this too. Yeah, the aliens destroyed the White House, 1994, Independence Day.
Right.
It wasn't real. It was a movie, and I was right about that.
Yeah, you were.
But we were talking, Tricia, just about how You kind of said, I hope it's okay to reveal this stuff,
sure.
But you said you kind of deal with anxiety, you have some panic attacks and things, but it hasn't hit you with COVID.
No, and I fall into the category kind of like you in the sense that the bigger things, the world issues, I'm pretty laid back about. On the other hand, I do on a daily basis suffer from various levels of anxiety about certain things. And I don't know if it's what we do for a living or what, but COVID has just... there was one moment at the beginning where I panicked about mortality, but that's been pretty much it.
You panicked about, like, your own fate.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was brief, and then I went back to thinking, oh, this is more like the flu, and most people are fine, and, I wash my hands. And so, yeah, I haven't really, thankfully, had to deal with that with COVID.
Well, that's
personally.
That's a great point to make, too, and because you're here and... We're in an environment where we're giving a lot of the actual facts and the other side of everything that's happening all the time because we all want to get to the brass tacks. We want to get to the truth. If you listen to this station, I wonder if that's helped. You know, I hope it has.
Yeah.
Because we're giving you the other side that maybe you're not getting about, you know, how are the vaccines working? When they work, let's talk about the fact that they are working. Let's talk about the fact that we're excited to have them, you know, as Trump was unveiling them in November of 2020. We're all like, yay, we finally are getting a vaccine. And now we're like, wait a minute, it's not fully approved by the FDA. You know, I mean, there's a lot to talk about there. So a few people on the phone, let's see if I can, actually, Jake, I'm going to ask you to do it just so I don't mess it up. Teresa in Ladue. Let's talk to Teresa. Hey, Teresa, how's it going?
Hi. I wanted to comment that I've been out since the last county meeting in St. Louis. And I think that what they're doing is they're just trying to divide people. I don't think it has anything to do with protecting them against COVID. If they can keep us divided, because the people wearing masks can't stand the people that aren't wearing them, and vice versa. And all it's doing is dividing our county, and that way they can take control again.
And Teresa, where do you fall on that debate? Which side?
I think the masks are ridiculous. I mean, I'm not upset when people wear them, but I think they're being fooled, and I think this is just all about division.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and thank you for calling, Teresa. We appreciate it. I agree. I think that that's a good point to make, that there is a lot of division happening over this topic. It's way, we all know this. It's way beyond masks at this point. It is a cultural touchstone that's not going away. Mary, thank you for calling. How are you dealing with anxiety?
Yes, I have great anxiety over this. First off, I do not know the magical word for the masks to use to have them work. My eyeballs aren't covered, so anything out there hits my eyeball, and I really like the magical word that keeps it out of my eyeballs. I want the magical word for not letting me get bacterial pneumonia from wearing it all the time.
You're worried. I think you're referring to the statistical study that showed that even things can come, even if you're not wearing a mask or you are wearing a mask, you can get viruses through your eyes. Is that right?
And not only that, but on products, we all go to the store, we buy things, we open the chip bag up, stuff our hand in, stuff it in our mouths. Hello, we're eating it.
Well, let me ask you this, because are you typically a worried person, and has COVID made that worse?
All my life, when I've gone grocery shopping, my family hates it. I go home, I wash everything off. And I mean, I wash everything with soap and water, fruits, vegetables, all of it, canned goods, all of it.
But you were doing this before COVID.
Absolutely. After COVID, it gets washed twice. Quite frankly, no. I think everyone's a little nuts with it. It's a common cold. I know that I had COVID before January 2020, because right after Christmas 2019, my whole family, all of us, lost our sense of taste and smell.
Wow. Well, so it sounds
all of us in the whole household.
Yeah. So thanks for calling. We got a couple more to get to. I'm gonna try to get to here. But thank you for calling. It sounds like you already dealt with anxiety. Then it rose, and then you got it, and you kind of backed off. Like it wasn't as big of a deal as you thought. Tom is from Ladue. Tom, how are you dealing with anxiety? Do you have any? Has it gotten worse during COVID era? What's going on?
What I wanted to tell you was, in terms of the FDA and things being approved, I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and for the past 20, 30 years, we've put in total joints, meaning total knees, total hips, and the FDA has authorized these joints to be used with cement. At the vast majority of orthopedic surgeons put these in without using cement, using what's the technique called bone ingrowth. This is just an example that just because the FDA has approved or not approved something doesn't necessarily mean it's bad or good.
So how do you feel about the vaccine? Fine with it?
I'm over 65.
So you're good.
No, I'm real fine with it, to tell you the truth.
So you were glad to get it. Did you get it right away?
I was a young, healthy guy.
Yeah.
I might have qualms about it, but I personally don't have one bit of problem with the vaccine. I think that the vaccine is going to prove itself to be very good, and I don't think that it's going to be an issue in the future.
Well, Tom, I appreciate your perspective as an orthopedic surgeon on this. Tell me a little bit more about that before we get to a break here. Why are you okay with it being older, but you wouldn't if you were younger?
Well, a couple of reasons. Number one is I have some comorbidities that most people have when they're over 65. And when I was in my 20s and 30s, I never took a pill. Well, I can't say that right now.
But
so
if,
consequently, I'm different.
So do you look at the stats for younger people and say, you know what, it's not that big of a deal for younger people, so they don't need to be vaccinated?
Well, I think what we have to get is we have to get at herd immunity somehow. And I'm personally, I feel that the vaccine is good. Now, the issue I have that evidently there are studies that say it's not going to be a problem is with women of childbearing age. That always makes me nervous in terms of any sort of a vaccine.
What do you think about kids? Because I appreciate your perspective. Should we be masking kids? Should kids get vaccines?
No, we should not be masking kids. And no, I don't think we should be giving the kids vaccines.
Good stuff. Thanks, Tom. We appreciate the call. And thank you so much for listening to the Annie Fry Show. I'm Ryan Wiggins. I promise we'll get to the good news next. Well, actually, we'll decide whether or not this is good news. This is one of the most ridiculous stories I've seen in a while. So maybe I'll just drop a couple of good news hits and then we'll get to the really ridiculous stuff. You're going to love this. Ryan Wiggins in for Annie Fry here from noon to 1, 97.1 FM Talk.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, Mark Cox usually joins us on Tuesdays, but he's still on vacation. I think that it would be awesome to not warn him. And Trisha, you've worked with him enough that I'm leaning on you here. If we do this, don't warn him that we're going to do it. Just do a whole interview on Mark Cox puppies. Like, grill him on puppies and breeds. Where can you get them?
That's not where I thought he was going with that at all. I thought we were going to do a prank call.
No, he was just doing an ad for puppies.
The Petland spot.
Yeah, the Petland spot. And just be like, look, how much do you really know about puppies, Mark? Let's
do
this.
You claim to be an expert.
Yes. So I said I was going to bring you some good news. That's not it. Although it could be.
Oh, shame.
If he calls in tomorrow.
We'd get a lot of mileage out of that
from Wyoming or whatever. All right, buddy, let's talk some puppies. So this is something I noticed over the weekend. It's something I've talked about quite a bit. And we won't go too deep into this, but it's just something I wanted to note because I do think it's a big deal. Maybe we can get somebody on actually from Heritage to talk about this because it's overlooked. So I'm just going to read the tweets from Kip Herridge. It says, something big is happening in China. Since February, stock markets have collapsed by 28% and their tech stocks are in implosion mode. The Chinese internet is down a huge 55%, the K-web. This is happening as, in the United States, we're hitting all-time high after all-time high. That's a big, big story that's not being reported since February. And I don't know why. I think part of the reason is that they manipulate their numbers so much that it's really hard to see what's really going on in China, which actually makes this a bigger story. Because if what we know is that their stock market is down by 28%, I bet the Chinese yuan, the dollar, the money that they use, is is tanking. And that's something that I've said many times before. You can't prop up an economy with false, you know, with currency manipulation and false reporting like they do forever. Mm-hmm. And they've just come through COVID too, where they were shutting everything down. In fact, I would blame them for part of what the rest of the world has done, because we all saw, oh man, something's going on in China back in October, November of 2019. We all saw what they were doing and we're like, man, this government's shutting everything down. They're keeping people inside their houses. And then it came here and everybody goes, well, what should we do? Well, I guess we should shut everything down, keep people inside their houses, because that's what China did. Yeah, and China did fine, right? They're coming out of this. Well, they're not. They're not coming out of this well. And I don't know if it's strictly because of COVID or if just over time, this stuff, it drags your economy down, because investors find that if they're going to put a lot of money in your economy and they can't trust your numbers and they can't trust actually that your currency is doing as well as you say it is and all these things, it really hurts things long term. And we know China has risen way faster than almost any economy ever has. I mean, you go back to the 1980s and you're talking about like almost a third world nation. To 2000, 2010, they're the second largest economy in the world. Like, that seems like it's been a lot of manipulation. And we know that some of it has. We just don't know how much, because we don't know.
Well, that's kind of speaks to that we forget sometimes how fortunate we are that we have the level of transparency we have in our government.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, when you look at,
we think we do.
Well, that's, but I mean, we get to talk about deep state and the nuances and the, yes, like the elites controlling things, but there are leaks and there's a certain, they're just, it, we expect a certain level of honesty or at least reporting, where a government like China can fly under the radar and then something like this comes out and they're surprising their own citizens, or you're different nations that don't have access to the internet even. Like, we sometimes, yeah, I think we take for granted how much access and information we have in this country.
No, I think you're right, especially in the financial world.
Yeah.
That is something that America leads on purpose. We're extremely transparent. Now, mm-hmm, I mean, there are things that the government does and has been doing, you know, since before Joe Biden, before Donald Trump, that they manipulate numbers a little bit. They're still real numbers if you look into them, but they'll just report them differently this time, right, to make them look a little bit better for this administration and things like that. But if you're an investor, you know that the stuff coming out of the United States is true.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes us more reliable. And yes, we're spending a whole bunch of money right now, but we're seeing it in inflation. We're not hiding that.
Right.
In fact, in an open market, you can't hide it. That's what's beautiful. We're actually going to talk to Stephen Moore here in a few minutes about this inflation bill they're about to pass, about the infrastructure bill that they're about to pass, another $1.something trillion. I think it's $1.2 or $3 trillion extra added to the $7-8 trillion that we've spent over the last year or so. So let's talk about inflation. Let's talk about what going to the grocery store is going to look like with Stephen Moore in a few minutes. But here is the story that I couldn't wait to get to. Over the weekend, I'm going to get your act. So there was a deep question here, and I thought, this is going to be great stuff. It was an article that I clicked on, and I just saw the headline click, you know, first couple paragraphs. I said, oh, I'm totally going to talk about that. Let's keep that for the show and keep it fresh. Well, this morning I was clicking on it, and here's the headline. Archaeologists in Israel have discovered an ancient painting of Jesus Christ's face.
Really?
Okay. You got me. I'm interested. And the big question that I was going to pose was, if you could see that painting, and let's say it was actually from the first century, these are people, mm-hmm, who walked around with Jesus. This isn't like, you know, 200 years removed and somebody saying, well, I think this is probably about what he looked like. Or you've seen the artist's renditions of modern, looking back on like, well, this is an average male from, you know, 2,000 years ago from Israel. This, yeah, is probably what he looked like.
I've seen thousands of those.
Yes, right, exactly.
None of them look the same.
Yes. And
it's not reliable.
And they're not like, it's not like that's Jesus. It's just like, this is what a Middle Eastern man looked like.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Wow. Super, super, right, revelatory there.
My favorite is when you see one of those with like another caption that somebody added. It's like, this is the face of God. It's like, it,
yes,
didn't say that at all.
Yeah. Right, right. If you could actually see a painting of, you know, somebody in that time period and said this is somebody who walked around with him, knew Jesus, would you want to see it?
Yeah.
I kind of would,
even
too.
Even if the painting wasn't of Jesus. If it was an artist rendition of a person, like from that time, it would still be not as interesting, probably.
But let's say you had it on good authority
that it was
this painting really was like John or Peter painted a painting of Jesus' face. You would want to see it
100%.
I would
taking religion out of it. Historically
speaking, that
would be incredible.
Yes. I kind of agree.
And then putting religion into it.
As a Christian, whenever I pray, I don't think of him as like some dude.
That makes sense.
No,
you know?
I agree.
Like I'm praying to the God or the Jesus kind of from the book of Revelation rather from the book of John, right? Mm-hmm. Sure. And I don't know if that's just me. So it would feel a little weird, but I think I still would want to see it.
And can you imagine like what that would mean for like the change in culture if we actually had that image, like how everything changes then, how we like
no I can't
going
I
forward.
Explain what do you
statues,
think would happen
statues books
oh, okay. oh
that, you know what I mean yeah. like culturally yeah. like how that changes our landscape of our religion and like the depictions going forward if we had.
Well, I think it's a fair you hear this criticism a lot that Jesus wasn't a white dude. It's true.
Yeah, right. I was just about to bring that up. My grandma's got a whole bunch of statues she has to replace.
I saw it coming. I saw it coming from Jake the Millennial.
Hey, not Jake the Millennial. Jake the guy who loves historical accuracy.
Oh, hey. Okay. Yeah.
I'm no fun to watch movies with.
One
no,
of the same.
But I think that's one of the fairest criticisms of kind of the Western culture of Jesus.
Oh, for sure.
Is that we have, you know, people, I don't know if this is really popular anymore, but I remember when I was a kid, old ladies had pictures of Jesus up in their hallway, right?
Right.
Maybe that still exists. I hate to. If you have that in your house, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying it's not as common to see now as when I would walk through like a grandma's house or something.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree completely.
And you'd see that picture of Jesus, mm-hmm. and he was white. He had very very narrow mm-hmm. Western features. Well, that's probably not true. But counter that, you see that in every culture.
No
matter where you go across the world. If they depict Jesus, they depict him to look a little bit more like themselves.
But I think that's what I'm trying to say. If we have this image that this story is about to reveal, how does that change? Like,
does it change just America or does it change everybody?
I would assume it changes the world.
I don't think it changes anything.
I don't think it changes anything either.
I don't either.
I think there was that whole, we were made in God's image thing that kind of gets taken away from that because, you know, in Christian doctrine, Jesus is God and God is Jesus. And if we put a face to that, then that kind of loses its meaning, but also not really because he is still a human and we are all humans, or he is a human in that painting.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. I don't think it would really change. It would, it would shake people's perceptions. And like you said before, when you pray, you're not praying to a face, you're praying to a God. Whatever form that takes for you.
Exactly.
And I think it would change perceptions from that kind of angle, but nothing on a grand scale.
Well, the creation of the images going forward, the depictions going forward, once you have an accurate like picture of him.
Well, I mean,
do you keep
the Shroud of Turin and things, you know? That like we have little things that you'd think. And some people, they debate the accuracy of the Shroud of Turin, whether it's real and all that mm-hmm. stuff. So we have stuff, but it's, I don't know. You're right. Maybe going forward, it would change the way we depict Jesus. Mm-hmm. But here's...
I think it would change the way that it's studied, too. The history of Jesus is like, and I've looked it up hundreds of times.
Did you look it up on Google? It must be true then.
Yeah.
So
fascinating. Yeah. It started on Wikipedia and then I looked at the Works Cited. And like across every single article I read, it's like, yeah, but this is up for debate. But for the sake of our argument, we'll say that this is true or this is not true.
Well, here.
But like having actual hard physical evidence that historical Jesus existed, then yeah, that would change the study of that.
So here's where this one goes before we get to Stephen Moore. So this was like, wow, what a really neat thing. Well, I dig into it. Apparently, this was discovered like 5 years ago. This isn't even a new story.
Come on.
It was one of these articles.
There's the answer.
It was one of these articles where you click, you get one paragraph, and then it says, hit next.
I thought we were having a philosophical discussion.
You hit next, and it starts to take you through the history of Israel. Oh, okay. I want to get to the Jesus painting, man. Give it to me. So I click next about 15 times, and every paragraph says, and... Then they discovered a painting. But then the next one is also in 1948, Israel became a nation. They never, ever were going to get to the painting. So I looked it up.
Clickbait, man.
New York
Post. It got you.
They did get me. New York Post had an actual article on it a couple years ago.
Okay.
Previously unknown, 1,500-year-old painting. It was 500 years after he was around. It's not even close.
In a way, he kind of clickbaited us.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
like,
I did.
We got God.
You and St. Louis.
That is
and
10 minutes of my life.
He felt,
never
he felt
get back.
So bad about
but it's
falling
a great debate,
for this.
Isn't it?
Send me that website.
It I'm was a great debate until you letter. Basically said, yeah, by the way, me and Jake were right. It didn't change anything.
It didn't change anything.
It stopped being a philosophical debate when you gave us an answer.
Look, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this.
Was this the good news?
I don't know.
No, the good news was the China thing. The good news is that China's economy.
We really glazed over that.
Yes, we did, didn't we?
But we look spent at this. An entire segment on the bad
if
news.
If you're watching on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page or the YouTube page,
ridiculous.
I'm giving you a warning here. I'm going to show you the painting. It is the stupidest looking thing. It seriously looks like somebody traced Bobo the Clown on tracing paper and then put it on a wall.
We can post this on the Annie Fry socials too,
look
right,
at
Trish?
This.
Sure.
Can you see that?
No, I am not posting that anywhere, Jake.
Look at that. That's
it looks like Marilyn Monroe.
This is the dumbest clickbait story I've ever seen. Apparently that is a real etching right there of what's
sure.
on that wall.
It's definitely a real etching.
But that is so stupid.
I expected
that,
like
you expect, oh my gosh, we could see what his face really looked like. Oh, he looks a little bit like a cross between
he looks like the sheet of paper that my that my niece or nephew would put on the fridge.
He looks like a cross between somebody's grandma and Art Garfunkel. That is the look at that. All right.
So, can't believe that didn't change.
Hang
the
on.
World.
While we're on the subject of what Jesus looks like, have either of you seen any like video or because this happens all the time? I see it at least once every 2 weeks where somebody will give their grandma a framed portrait of Ewan McGregor from the Star Wars prequels, like all in the Jedi robes and everything. He's got the long hair. He's got the beard.
I have seen this.
Giving it to the grandma Jesus. Like, look at this picture of Jesus I got you, Grandma.
I have seen this. And now, my grandma's birthday was just the other week. I should have given her a picture of Art Garfunkel and said, look, apparently that's what Jesus looks like.
That is so mean. Okay, that is so mean.
Why? It's so funny, though. It's so funny. Because here's the thing. Until we can find a picture of what Jesus looks like, that's totally valid.
Jake, you're not invited back tomorrow. 97.1 FM Talk. This is Ryan Wiggins filling in for Annie Fry. And hey, Dana Lash making her triumphant return to 97.1 in 20 minutes. But we're talking to Stephen Moore next about this infrastructure bill.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Ryan Wiggins in for Annie Fry from noon to one, from now until Labor Day. Hope you are having a great beginning to your week. Stephen Moore is an economist. He is on the phone with us, usually joins us in the next break, but since we're having Dana Lash take over from 1 to 3, he is joining us now. Good afternoon, wherever you are, Stephen.
So good to be with you, and boy, these are really amazing times we're living in with this trillion-dollar bill now being debated in Congress as we speak. So that's where I am. I'm headed to the Capitol right now and trying to lobby against this massive increase in debt spending. By the way, I just ran these numbers. Only $1 out of $4 in this so-called infrastructure bill is for infrastructure. Only $1 out of $4. So most of it is for green energy and mass transit projects that nobody rides and wind and solar subsidies, electric vehicle subsidies. It's just a big cash giveaway. And, given the fact that we're already running a deficit higher than any time in American history, now is not the time to be borrowing more.
So what I thought that was the point of Republicans getting involved in negotiating on this was that stuff would go away.
Yeah, well, they got rolled. Let me just put it very simply. They got rolled, and it's a disgrace, that bill. There's no Keystone XL pipeline in it. This is supposed to be an infrastructure bill, and the infrastructure that's free, which is the Keystone, is not in the bill. They have there's no real honest to goodness pay fors. You know, it's all paid for with borrowing. They've made up a bunch of phony pay fors. There's not a single dime of spending cuts. Not one dime. They're a $4 trillion budget. They can't find anything to cut. It's unbelievable to me. By the way, if you own a Tesla, you're going to do really well because they're going to give free charging stations all over the country paid for by taxpayers to charge these $100,000 vehicles. And, you know, given that we already – by the way, every child born today – I just looked up these numbers. Every child born today is going to face $500,000 share of the debt. That's what we're giving our kids.
Incredible. What exactly are Republicans getting out of this? I mean, were Democrats going to pass a three point something trillion, and you know they're going to do it through reconciliation? Republicans have gotten it down to 1.3, but it doesn't sound like they're getting anything.
Nothing. I mean, it's a great point. And maybe if somebody knows some concession that we got from the Democrats. I mean, usually when you have a negotiation, right? You know, you give me something and I give you something. Can you think of anything the Republicans got?
I've been looking at it, and that's why I wanted to have you on. What exactly?
I can't.
Why? Because it's not every Republican, but it's enough to break the filibuster.
I can't say this for sure because the bill is 1,300 pages. And I haven't read the whole thing yet, but I mean, my God, I mean, the insanity of what's going on in Washington. And, you know, they've got all these. We just gave like $50 billion to, you know, the mass transit systems. Now we're going to give another, you know, $20 billion to mass transit. But nobody's riding it. Nobody's riding these systems anymore. It's a giveaway to the unions. They have it's all green energy stuff, you know, for the wind and solar and the electric vehicle industry. I don't get it. I don't get why any Republican in their right mind. Republicans should be cutting government spending right now, right? We should be cutting the budget, not increasing it. I don't know. Sometimes I really despair because of the stupidity. And by the way, this only paves the way for the $3.5 trillion spending bill they want to do on top of this, which is under what's called reconciliation, which is a fancy term to say they're going to do it without any single Republican votes. But even Nancy Pelosi said, well, we're not going to do that $3.5 trillion bill unless we get the Republicans to sign on to the, you know, $1 trillion bill. So my feeling is, okay, great. You got a deal. We'll do neither. We'll save taxpayers trillions of dollars. But no, that's not the way it's apparently going to work. And I still think we've got a chance. But we got to get every – I think, you know, for example, Senator Blunt is from Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Republican. And I like Senator Blunt. I've been friends with him. But why in the world is he voting for this?
Well, he's not running for reelection. Do you think that has something to do with it?
Well, I mean, if he's not running for reelection, all the reason to vote against it. I mean, right now the lobbyists are giving all this money away. You know, the infrastructure lobby and the wind and green energy lobby, they're spending billions of dollars to try to get this thing through because they're going to get trillions of dollars in return. But if you're retiring, you know, why not just say, no, I'm not going to cave in. I'm going to put the taxpayers first. This puts taxpayers in America's last.
Yeah, Stephen Moore on the phone with us. So you said you're headed over there to lobby right now. What exactly does that mean?
By the way, I'm not a lobbyist, but I'm educating.
Sure.
I'm educating these members of the Senate and Congress about what a horrid bill this is, how it is going to bankrupt our country, set us over a financial cliff. You know, if you look at, let's think about this. Remember we passed that $1.9 trillion spending bill in March? Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's $1.9. Okay, write this down, 1.9. Now, this bill is, by some measures over 5 years, $1.2 trillion. So if my math is right, is that 3.1? 1.9 plus 1.2 would be 3.1,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're going to be my mathematician.
I'm checking.
And now they've got another $3.5 trillion spending bill they want to do on top of that for what they call human infrastructure. By the way, have you ever heard that term before, human infrastructure?
Not until
they're
2021.
They're calling welfare. They're calling welfare payments infrastructure and investments. Amazing. So let's see. What does that give us? 3.5 plus 2.1.
6.6.
That's what, 5.6 trillion? Okay. By the way, I'm not done yet. I'm not done because that doesn't even include the normal budget that we pass every year, which is 4 trillion. So what are we, close to $8, $9 trillion?
We're having around $9, $10 trillion. $1,000.
I mean, am I going? Am I the one who's crazy, or are they crazy? I mean, does any of this make any sense, folks?
Stephen, do these congressmen and women that you meet with, do they genuinely sit down with you and listen to what you have to say, or is it just like they're checking the box? They already know how they're going to vote.
You know, look, no, we can still influence these people. I mean, that's why I do shows like yours. I mean, look, we are the people. They work for us. They're not. They're the servants, not the leaders, right? They work for us. And, you know, what bothers me almost more than the politicians is the American people right now. We're like lemmings. We just sit back and take it. No, we take to the streets. I mean, you know, we as conservatives, free market people, and people who love liberty, we don't get violent the way the left does. But we have a constitutional right in the First Amendment to protest against out of control government. I remember during the Tea Party movement, we had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people around the country, and then it turned into millions of people revolted. And we stopped Barack Obama dead in his tracks. We can do that again. We really can. You can't be a pacifist now, folks. Our country is at stake. Our financial future of our country, our children. Are we going to leave our children the legacy of $30 trillion of debt?
Stephen Moore, we got about a minute left here. Are our Congress people worried about inflation? Because that's where it is hitting everybody.
They should
right
be.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, they should be. But remember, people in Washington live in a bubble. Remember what President Biden said the other day in his town hall meeting. Everybody was floored by this. He said, yes, we have an inflation problem, and our solution to our inflation problem is to pass my $4 trillion spending bill. Like, borrowing and spending and going for $4 trillion in debt and printing money is going to reduce inflation? Come on. That's like saying the solution to our forest fires out in California is to dump gasoline.
Yeah. Stephen Moore, we appreciate your time, and we appreciate you moving up your normal time slot to accommodate us here on the Annie Fry Show. And we appreciate you out in Washington, D.C., doing what you're doing. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. See you next week. Take care.
Man, you guys, I went to the grocery store this weekend. It's not...
Do you have another incident?
No. Oh. I didn't have an incident. I didn't have, like, the kid pushing my cart around and me having to stare him down and all that stuff. I just picked up a couple of Jack's pizzas, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's the little things where you can see that they're putting new stickers over the prices at Walmart. And
it's
you know,
so frustrating.
I can see it used to be $2.30. Now it's $2.82. It's the kind of stuff that just grates on you. It's not the end of the world when you're doing it. Like, oh, it's 50 cents for an extra pizza, whatever. But over a $100 grocery trip, and I got three kids.
Yeah.
This stuff adds up. And I think everybody sees that stuff happening.
Yeah, 100%.
So, thanks for tuning in for the Annie Fry Show. I'm Ryan Wiggins, and I'll be doing the noon to 1 hour from now until Labor Day when Annie returns. Guess what's coming up next? The grand, I don't say debut, return of Dana Lash to 97.1. I know she's excited about it. I hope you're excited about it. Stick around for just a minute. We will be listening to Dana Lash on the other side of this break. It's 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.